Hello and welcome to the 14th edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan Wortman. In today's episode, we're obviously going to be talking about the massive Harden trade that just happened yesterday, or, you know, on Wednesday, January 13th. Depends on when you guys are listening to this, but it's yesterday for me. And I'm recording this intro here just after the Nuggets and Warriors game got over. And, you know, Jokic just notched his 5th triple-double of the season. So now he's leading the NBA in triple-doubles this year. And he's also still leading the league, I believe, in assists per game. So Jokic has been off to a hot start and has been in many people's, you know, early MVP rankings, which is a topic we are going to get to later on in the episode, which this episode I recorded with Anthony. It'll be coming up shortly. Just wanted to record something here at the top to point out that, you know, since the last episode we recorded, which was about 2 weeks ago now, some stuff has happened that we didn't really touch on, like Steph Curry scoring a career high 62 points in a game. So that was pretty wild. And we had another 60-point game in the league, and that was Bradley Beal against the Philadelphia 76ers. But it resulted in a loss, sadly, for Bradley Beal and the struggling Wizards, which is also a topic we'll get to later on with Anthony, resident Sixers fan. So it's also good that I'm recording now because just tonight, Yusuf Nurkic suffered a wrist fracture in the Blazers' loss to the Pacers tonight. So that's really, you know, unfortunate. It's been very painful to see, you know, Yusuf Nurkic not being able to stay healthy since he's entered his prime and, you know, being a really important piece there on that Portland team. So, yeah, prayers up for him for sure. But, yeah, other than that, something I want to mention before I let you guys go is, you know, when we kind of opened up talking about the Harden trade and we were just kind of referencing what each team got but not really ever saying what it was until later on. And so I could tell, you know, for somebody listening to it without knowing what the trade entailed, what each team came away with, it would be kind of confusing to listen to what me and Anthony were saying. So I'm just going to read that off really quick, what every team came away with in this trade. So this is a four-team trade between the Houston Rockets, the Indiana Pacers, Brooklyn Nets, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so the Rockets obviously gave up James Harden, and in return they got Victor Oladipo from Indiana, Dante Exum from Cleveland, and Rodions Kurucs from Brooklyn. And they also got three Brooklyn first-round picks in the years 2022, 2024, and 2026. Then they also got a Milwaukee first-round pick in 2022. All of these picks are unprotected. And on top of that, they also got four Brooklyn first-round swaps, so they can swap their picks with Brooklyn in the years 2021, which is this upcoming draft, 2023, 2025, and 2027. It's kind of funny that they even have the 2021 swap in here as if Houston's going to finish with a better record than Brooklyn and get a better pick or get a worse pick than Brooklyn would. That's definitely not going to happen, so that swap really means nothing. But still, this is a lot of draft assets. It's a lot. Honestly, it was very, very surprising just because of how much leverage Brooklyn really seemed to have in this situation, you know, because of James Harden's antics, which we'll hear about later. And the Pacers, they came away with Caris LeVert and a second-round pick from Cleveland. And so they got Caris LeVert from Brooklyn. And all the Pacers gave up was Victor Oladipo. So they basically just swapped Oladipo for LeVert and a second rounder. And Cleveland, they gave up Dante Exum. I believe that Milwaukee first was from them. They had possession of that Milwaukee first round pick in 2022. So that they added that to this trade. And they also added their second round pick that went to the Pacers. So yeah, they gave up Exum, a first round pick, and a second round pick. And they came away with Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. And the Nets obviously got James Harden out of the deal. So that is the full trade as it was reported. But yeah, just wanted to preface this conversation with that, you know, for sake of clarity. But yeah, I'll let you guys get right into my conversation with the great Anthony Levtsenyuk. Yo, Tony, how's it going?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. The world is kind of flipped upside down in the world of basketball after that blockbuster trade from yesterday. What were your initial thoughts after you first heard about it or first saw it happen?
I was upset, very upset, because I thought the 76ers could have pretty easily acquired him. You know, they wanted Ben Simmons, we wanted Harden, but I think the issue was we didn't want to give up Maxey.
Yep.
Which, yeah. You know, Maxey's looking very promising, and, you know, it's tough to get rid of someone, a young player like that. You know.
So you think that they wouldn't have taken Tybal instead of Maxey?
We offered Tybal. That's what I said. Did? Yeah, they wanted Tybal and Maxey.
Oh, both.
Yeah. So they wanted Ben, Tybal, and Maxey.
That's crazy.
So I'm just wow. Yeah.
I feel like that would have even that would have been a much better package than what they got. I feel like. For, you know, winning games right now, obviously. For the Rockets, I mean. But, you know, this is also a really good move, just getting tons of draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I was, like, the same as you yesterday. I mean, I wasn't necessarily mad, but I liked the idea of him going to the Sixers way more, just from basketball.
It fits greatly.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Yeah. And, you know, that whole day, because – just 2 days ago is when Harden really started that drama in that game against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the game said that this team is just not good enough.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, they just, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
He kind of just fired a bunch of shots at his own team. Saying that he's literally done everything that he can, is what he said, to mend the relationship between him and the franchise. But he just says it's something that just can't be fixed, which I find hard to believe, just because, you know, he didn't seem to be trying literally everything he could. You know, things like him not showing up to training camp on time, him showing up out of shape to training camp, him really mailing in a lot of games that they were playing. You know, he was still getting his numbers somewhat. You know, they weren't close to normal Harden numbers mm-hmm. for the most part, but he was still getting numbers. It's just watching all of his games, he had all these little possessions here and there where you could tell, like, you know, he just didn't make the effort play, you know, the play that he should have made, that he would have made a season or two ago. Like, he would start boxing out not even his man, just because, you know, him and one of his teammates are boxing out the same guy just because he doesn't want to rotate to go and box out the guy he's supposed to, or, you know, just little things like that. Not really staying in a play once he gives up the ball, just kind of staying out at half court, not even being a participant in the play. Stuff like that was just kind of, you know, a little shady to do to your teammates, to your franchise. You know, like, the teammates that he had, I saw that DeMarcus Cousins interview. Did you see that?
Yep, he was ticked.
Obviously, it's disrespectful, but you know, everybody has a right to their opinion. We feel a certain type of way about some of his actions. My interest in playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. And with that being said, the disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So this isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden happened, you know, last night. The other 14 guys in the locker room have done nothing to him. So for us to be on the receiving end of some of the, you know, disrespectful comments and antics, it's completely unfair to us. Like I said, we've done nothing to him. We've only showed up to work just like everybody else and came in ready to work. So, like I said, it's completely unfair to the rest of the guys in the locker room.
But, I mean, I think he made a lot of really good points. Like, you know, him and the rest of the Rockets didn't do anything to deserve James Harden, you know, treating them the way he did. Uh-huh. You know, they were showing up trying to win games.
I feel like it's just more between Harden and the front office. Like, mm-hmm. not really the team, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Harden already made his decision that he wanted to be gone before the season started. Mm-hmm. And just the front office wasn't really trying to, you know, get him to where he wants to go.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. think getting rid of Morey even hurt the relationship between Harden and the front office even more. 'Cause they had a good relationship. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think that might have been more the problem, and Harden just wanted to force his way out. I mean,
yeah, I would say even on top of that, them losing Mike D'Antoni mm-hmm. and also trading away Russell Westbrook, just blowing yeah. the whole thing up. I get that's definitely a problem in the relationship between Harden and the front office, not the players, but the players are kind of caught in the crossfire. Mm-hmm. So they're affected by this when really they had nothing to do with it, which is just kind of, you know, irresponsible from definitely Harden's part, you could say from the organization's part too, but I don't know. I feel like just because a player demands a trade, you know, they were shopping him this whole time. They were just waiting for a better offer.
Yeah.
They didn't really want to make a rash, you know, decision and rush into something and kind of give up him, you know, give him up for three quarters on the dollar or something like that, you know, which I don't think they necessarily did. This seemed like a really, really good return. I was not expecting it to be this much, especially like the leverage that the Nets had, because Harden has just been, you know, making a scene in Houston.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of weird that they were still able to get essentially 8 first round picks. All unprotected. So for 4 first round picks from the Nets, actually 3 from the Nets, 1 from the Cavs, and then 4 more pick swaps with the Nets. So that's pretty ridiculous. It's literally the most amount of picks that you're even allowed to send in one trade.
Really?
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. The Nets just like drained all of their future capital basically with that.
I still think the Cavs and the Pacers kind of won those trades. I don't know. I think the Pacers with LeVert are going to be very good, and Oladipo was already on an expiring contract, so mm-hmm. getting LeVert
yep. locked up on a good contract. Up,
yep, you know. Brogdon, LeVert, Sabonis. That's a very good trio to build around.
Yeah. And then you got TJ Warren when he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see? Like, it's just they knew that they wanted someone like that. Oladipo getting older with his injuries, you know, they're going to slow him down, cuz he's a very mm-hmm. explosive kind of player, and you know, just constant injuries are going to slow him down. He's going to lose his explosiveness. And, you know, he might not be as valuable. So I think getting rid of him now before paying big money for only a few years of him was the right thing to do. And then with the Cavs, Jared Allen, very good rim protector, very young. And they got Taurean Prince as well. Taurean, whatever. Mm-hmm. But just very good pieces out of that trade, and they honestly gave up like nothing, so,
yeah,
I like it.
I kind of like this trade for every team.
Mm-hmm.
you know, on the Rockets side of things, I guess we should read off what each team got because we've kind of just been saying it as if everybody knows. But so the Rockets, they acquired Victor Oladipo and Dante Exum, as well as Rodions Kurucs, and three Brooklyn first round picks in the years 2022, 24, and 26. And then a Milwaukee first that they got from the Cavs, which is a 22 unprotected. So, and then they also have four first round pick swaps with Brooklyn. So that's everything the Rockets got. The Nets obviously just got James Harden. The Pacers got Caris LeVert and a second round pick from the Cavs, I believe. And then the Cavaliers got Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. So, you know, on the Rocket side of things, flipping LeVert for Oladipo, I actually kind of like for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think Rockets aren't really necessarily trying to win games anymore this season. And Oladipo's on an expiring contract, so you can really decide what you want to do with him long term.
Mm-hmm.
After his contract is up. And you got all this draft capital moving forward for, you know, you got your own picks as well as all these other ones you've got now. Moving forward, I think the Rockets are in a pretty nice situation. Like considering the mayhem that Harden has caused the past several months, I think they're in a really favorable situation.
Yeah.
And Jared Allen on the Cavs, you know, I think he pairs well with Sexland moving forward. He's a good center. He's around the same age as both Garland and Sexton, so that should work out. But the only thing with the Cavs is they need to get rid of their other centers that are going to be taking Allen's minutes, because they still have Andre Drummond. They have Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. They have Larry Nance Jr. I was blanking his name for a second. They got him too. They have a lot of big guys, guys that's going to be kind of clunky to play at the same time together. Oh, also JaVale McGee. They have a lot of centers.
Yeah, no, so, for real.
And Taurean Prince isn't exactly a perimeter player necessarily. You know, he's a pretty big guy too. So I don't know. It's going to be weird in Cleveland. I think they still have some moves to make before they have their roster the way they want it to be exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But Jared Allen is definitely something they got for like so cheap. Like that was a very good pickup by the Cleveland front office.
Yeah.
And also just the how Jared Allen was being treated in Brooklyn was kind of like the way they gave him up for barely anything. And before that, you know, he had to like beyond prove he was better than DeAndre Jordan to get, you know, some of his minutes that he eventually got before, you mm-hmm. know, just because it was so blatantly obvious that he's a better player than DeAndre Jordan at this point in his career.
Yeah, and I think he's actually one of the top rim protectors in the league too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, with someone like Joel Embiid in the Eastern Conference, you know, in the playoffs, so they match up, Embiid's gonna eat. He's literally gonna decimate that team.
Yeah.
Because what, DeAndre Jordan, he's washed. If you watch him play, he's not even close to the same player he was. And
yeah,
honestly,
I agree.
Jeff Green is a better center than him at this point. So
they'll probably be playing a lot of Jeff Green and even KD at five, honestly.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
That's not gonna work when you go up against, you know, the Heat or the 76ers. So
I was actually curious what you thought about that. I was going to bring that up. Just them in the Eastern Conference now with this roster matching up against some of the other best teams in the conference, I think it actually bodes pretty well for them. Against teams like Boston, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to have too many problems with Boston. Toronto theoretically would be a team that they had to deal with before the season started. But now, you know, as we were talking about just before this call started or this podcast started, Toronto is only 2-8 at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows if they're going to be a threat to the Nets in the East at all, if they're even going to be a playoff team.
Now I'm thinking about it. The Raptors could trade for a big guy, you know, from the Cavaliers.
They could get Drummond. They could get, Nance.
You know, Nance.
Even Love. Honestly, yeah, that would be a nice Raptors guy right there.
Kevin Love. Especially when you got Beyblade on the team carrying it.
Beyblade?
Yeah.
Just because the spin moves?
He only spins.
Yeah, I saw that game winner, potential game winner that he attempted against Andrew Wiggins, in Golden State. I saw, I think it was Kenny Farrell reacting to it.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, the spin move he did didn't even create any separation at all. He just spun and shot it for no reason. Yeah.
It's just like, if he just practices like a fake full spin, you go half and back, that Joel Embiid post up, Hakeem Olajuwon post up. He would catch them. Yeah, the shake and bake. He would catch them off guard. So if he just does that one move right there, he could be so much better.
Yeah.
But
back to he's got things to iron out. Yeah. But anyways, with other teams in the East though, Sixers were the first one to come to mind when I thought about this for a team in the East to give them troubles. The Heat, I guess I can kind of see. Bam isn't like a super overwhelming size matchup necessarily. He plays, he's really, in the sense of history, more of a four, the prototype of a four, but into modern day NBA, he can hold up as a five. I don't think he's going to be that overwhelming of a, post presence. Do you think so?
I just think his athleticism would be too much for them, and his length. I still think it will be a tough for the Nets to match up against.
After watching Kevin Durant guard Jokic last game that they played two nights ago, honestly, I'm really impressed with Kevin Durant's post defense. He's a lot sturdier than I think most people think. He guarded Jokic basically the whole game.
Jeez.
It was basically him and Jeff Green guarding him most of the time. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, Jokic still got his numbers. I think he had 25 points, but Kevin Durant, I guess, can hold his own. But I guess we'll see. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a disadvantage at all, but I don't know if it's something quite to the level of having to match up with Embiid, who's going to put 30 to 40 on your head, if that's all you have to offer to guard him with. I don't think Bam's going to be really doing that in a series against you, but I guess we'll see. Nets, though, I think are definitely up there with those other teams, though, with Boston, Miami, and Philly as the main contenders in the Eastern Conference. I think Indiana is right there after them, too.
For real, Indiana's not someone to take lightly. I think, I think the few teams in the East that could, match up well against the Nets, 76ers, Pacers, and the Heat, just with the size differential, because Sabonis, Miles Turner, they could do well against the Nets. And then I think the 76ers actually match up very well against the Nets now. Now that I'm thinking about it, you got, Ben Simmons on KD, Danny Green on James Harden. And then you got Embiid in the post covering that rim. We'll see if Kyrie's even going to play this season. So I don't know about that. But Seth Curry has defended very well this season as well. So I think we match up well. And I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see, though. I don't think any team has ever had that much just offensive firepower.
True.
In terms of just isolation scores, those Golden State teams were just offensive super weapons when they were all fit together. And they had the isolation of obviously Curry and Durant, but those other pieces around it was, kind of in fluid
you know, motion. And with the Nets, though, I have no idea how it's going to work, if they're just going to take turns isolating or if they're really going to be in offensive actions, like playing off each other. Mm-hmm. And like pick and roll scenario. I was thinking, I heard someone say recently, like, what if they start going to like a James Harden, Kevin Durant pick and roll with Durant as the role man. Yeah. That would be very interesting. They could do a lot of like pick and pop stuff as well. Really could go any way they want it to. And you know, also, you know, we've been talking about DeAndre Jordan going downhill. He's still the mold of player that's like a lob threat finisher, that goes really well with a player like Harden. So there's that, I guess, on the offensive end that he can essentially, well, at least theoretically provide. But yeah, we don't know come playoff time. We forgot to mention the Bucks. I didn't even think about them.
Oh yeah, shoot.
So they're obviously up there with Philadelphia, Boston, and Brooklyn, and Miami in that top five. I would throw Indiana and just make it a top six.
I don't know.
Really?
I think the Pacers might be better than Miami.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. I mean, fully healthy, the Heat haven't even played really that great. It is early in the season, but I still think they had a Mickey Mouse run to the finals, you know what I mean? So, as they say on Twitter.
So yeah, I think Miami, I get that maybe it was a little bit of a fluke making it to the finals. I've heard people say that, and I don't necessarily 100% disagree with it, but I guess I just don't. I don't know. Like, when I was watching it, there was no point in time the entire playoffs that I was like, wow, Miami is, like, this is fluky. You know, they're doing something that they shouldn't be able to do or something like that. Like, they, watching all of their games, they weren't really ever that on fire, other than Jay Crowder and Goran Dragic got pretty hot for a couple of games there in the second round against the Bucks. But, like, the whole time, you know, if you look at their team averages, it wasn't far off from, you know, in terms of three-point percentage, it wasn't far off from, like, the Bucks or the Celtics or other teams in the Eastern Conference. It was, I think it was really just the way their offense was running together. Like, their ball movement was some of the best I've seen in the playoffs since, maybe even since, like, those Golden State teams or the Spurs in 2013, 2014. It really had that level of ball movement. And I'll be curious to see whether they can do a similar type of run like that in the playoffs this year. I think they're definitely going to be something, a threat to be dealt with in the East. I see them as at least a second round team.
Yeah.
Which is tough to talk about because, you know, we're talking about a top six in this Eastern Conference that we all consider somewhat of like conference finals contenders, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this might be like the best we've seen the East in
a long time. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. True. Maybe even since, you know, that's really far back, but maybe even since Jordan.
You know, I don't think you're wrong. You know,
it could be since then that this is the best we've seen the East.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, even the Knicks this year, I feel like could compete for a top 10 spot, like for a play-in. They could.
Yeah,
honestly.
They could. You know, if they don't get hurt, because Thibs is making his star players play like 40 minutes per game. So,
yeah, which is, you know, expected from him. But yeah, yeah. If Julius Randle keeps up, you know, his play, maybe it'll be the Knicks knocking off the Nets. Maybe that's what's gonna happen.
Imagine, that would be insane. Oh, forgot to mention though, the Nets bench is very weak. So,
yeah, especially now. Yeah, giving up all that they gave up, and Dinwiddie being out for the season.
Yeah. So it's because they only who do they have on the bench? They have let's see, I'm
trying to think. Bruce Brown, Shamit, yeah. Joe Harris will be in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. He'll be really essential for them. I think he's going to get a lot of open 3-point shots playing around this group of superstars. It's going to be a really good situation for him, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Who else is on the bench? Nick Claxton, I think, is also there, who hasn't got any playing time yet, but he has cool hair. He might play sometime. I don't know. Especially with them not having any centers anymore, he might get some run.
True.
Speaking of players getting run, did you see Isaiah Roby against the Lakers?
Yeah, he did pretty well. Was he guarding LeBron?
Yeah.
How was he doing?
Not terribly. LeBron had a pretty good game. He hit a three in his face and got a foul, 4-point play, which it wasn't even a foul. I don't even understand. Really? Yeah, it was like a really bad call, but yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, it's LeBron, you know.
Yeah, I know that, like, LeBron is Roby's GOAT. Like, he's his favorite player ever.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably really surreal.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, Roby, he's looking very good. Uh-huh. He's getting minutes. I mean, like, perfect situation for him, you know? You're on a mm-hmm. team that's tanking. And yeah. you're getting that playing time. Like, you couldn't have asked for that, you know, any a better situation than that. You know, he would have gotten 0 minutes on the Mavericks. So,
yeah.
it's good to see. And he probably loves playing with someone like Shea and George Hill and getting, veteran leadership from Al Horford. So,
Trevor Ariza too, yeah.
Trevor Ariza, maybe, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played yet, I don't think, because he's been injured. Mm-hmm. I think, but
no. He's been out with personal reasons because he's trying to get custody for his kids. So,
oh, still?
Yeah, because that's still the situation. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's pretty wild. But yeah, anyways, those are the three veterans on their team that I can really think of. Mike Muscala has been in the league for a while now, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. I think the Thunder's a really nice situation for him, especially, you know, I said this before, like, basically after the bubble, when it became pretty, like, I predicted, you know, Chris Paul was probably going to be moved, like most people thought, from the Thunder. And, you know, just because of how stacked this Western Conference was, you know, when we were looking forward to this season, I thought this would be a great season for the Thunder to just, you know, blow everything up, accumulate even more draft capital than they already had, and just tank this season because the next couple draft years are supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even back then I thought, I was like, wow, Roby being on this team with a, you know, and them hiring a super young coach, like basically straight out of the G League, that even made me feel even better about that prediction because I was like, they're not spending money on a coach right now, because they're tanking, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that is what's happening. And also they're playing pretty well for, you know, the roster that they have. They're 5-6 right now, which mm-hmm. is the same record as the Nuggets. So
Nuggets, yeah.
yeah, they've been a nice, you know, scrappy group. Also, the Grizzlies have impressed me playing without John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, no, they're... If everybody's healthy on that team, they could definitely make a run for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the Nuggets right now? Like, are you a little nervous right now? Just.
No, I think we'll get to, back into the winning column, be a winning team up into, you know, the top 8 seeds here pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess we're sitting at 9th right now, which isn't terrible. But by the end of the year, I really think we're going to be top 5 seed. I don't see us dropping that far off. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we started off the year a little bit slow. We'll pick it up a little bit more. We've had a few losses that really should have been wins so far this season. So, like, there were close games that we really should have won, should have pulled out.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling pretty good about the season moving forward. Also, Jokic being so clutch in literally every single game that we've played so far, him just taking over down the stretch, trying to win every game for us, especially with Murray not showing up, especially in the fourth quarters
yeah.
This year. So that's also another thing that you could say maybe is a little worrying, is Jamal Murray not showing out, you know, the way he was in the bubble, which I was pretty scared of happening. You know, I thought, you know, when he showed up in the bubble and he was doing that, I think that really showed really who had been paying attention to the Nuggets and who hadn't. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of people that were like, yeah, it's Jamal Murray. Like, he does that. He's good. I was like, yeah. No, this guy has never done this before. That's not Jamal Murray. Like, he'll show like, if you watch his highlight reel, yeah, mm-hmm. You'll see plays like that. But he's never done that for an entire game before. And he was doing it for, like, 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
So, you know, the story of Jamal Murray his entire career so far had been he's not there in one half. The next half, he just blows up and he's on fire. He was never able to keep that consistent. And this season, he showed that that's what he's doing again. So maybe if it's just come playoff time, he turns into that player. I guess I'll be on board with that because, you know, come playoff time, that's when you really need that the most.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just kind of scares me. I'd like to see him perform to the level that he's getting paid. And throughout these first 11 games, he hasn't really been. And also I want Michael Porter Jr. to come back. He only played like the first 3 games and he's been out with COVID this whole time.
Yeah.
And you know, he was averaging 20 points a game. In those first 4 games. So hopefully he can come back in, pick up where he left off, give our offense an extra kick that it needs. But yeah, I'm not too scared about the Nuggets.
Gary Harris has been playing better, right?
Yeah, the last couple games he's been really good, even offensively, which is something mm-hmm. that I haven't been able to say about Gary Harris in a long time. I still think Gary Harris is a really underrated player, just because everybody only sees the numbers, sees like, oh yeah, he had a really bad box score again. You know, he's shooting really bad, like that kind of stuff. But like, I'm able to overlook that most of the time when he's literally carrying our defense so much of the season.
Yeah.
Even Jokic. Jokic might be our second best defensive player. Not even kidding.
How?
Like Dozier is... He has the athletic ability to be really good, but he just, experience-wise, isn't performing super well sometimes in spots.
Mm-hmm.
But Jokic is third in the league in steals, I think.
Jeez.
He's averaging almost 2 a game. I think he's at like 1.7. But he had 7 steals against the Nets, which is crazy. He's just, I don't know. He's making plays happen on both sides. Jokic has, you know, been really good so far. And that kind of brings me into MVP talk.
One more thing.
Okay, yeah.
Why is Campuzo, whatever his name,
Campuzo,
still getting, yeah, why is he still getting more minutes than Hampton? Watching the Sixers-Nuggets game.
Yeah.
Against a depleted 76ers. You're not going to give your rookie minutes.
Yeah.
Know? And it's just, I know Campuzo.
Campuzo.
Campuzo. He's a rookie too, but it's like Hampton is better. He's younger. And, yeah. You know, is he not
playing I don't hard? Know.
Is he not playing good defense? You know.
It's hard to say which one is necessarily better. You know, Mike Malone is just... I admire Mike Malone's mentality when it comes to like coaching basketball games because he just wants to win and he wants mm-hmm. to use the most experienced guys that he trusts the most at all times, basically. He doesn't like giving minutes to young, inexperienced players for some reason just because, you know, they have defensive lapses a lot
mm-hmm.
and things like, you know, just things that come with growing inexperience in the NBA. Campuzo has been a professional overseas, well, not overseas, in South America, in Argentina, for a long time. He's a legendary player down there, and has played against the United States in FIBA play, like, for multiple, you know, cycles now,
mm-hmm.
And has been a pretty big problem for us. And, like, so, you know, he's a really good basketball player. Really cerebral basketball player. He makes really good plays when he's in there. He's just really undersized for the defensive end. So, like, even though he plays hard and he knows how to be in the right spots and everything like that, he's just physically limited in a way that Hampton is not. And I, so, you know, who's going to help us win games more right now? Probably Campaso, just the way that Mike Malone is playing us, like playing the game. But I think I would like to see Hampton get more play, get more minutes than Campaso personally. You know, come playoff time, I get, with the bench rotations, put in the best players. But right now, in the regular season, I don't want him to make another mistake like he made with Porter. I think Porter would have come along much better if he would have got more minutes last season. You know?
Definitely.
Porter literally averaged 14 minutes a game last season.
That's awful.
Yeah. And now he's a starter and our third best player probably.
Yeah, and I was about to say, I feel like Hampton's one of those players, you put him on the court, he's gonna show up and he'll do his job. You know?
Yeah. He's really only played in garbage time minutes so far, so it's hard to really see. But when he gets the ball, he just takes off down the court. Like, he really reminds me of, like, De'Aaron Fox, the way he just blows by an entire team in a fast break. Like, he does stuff like that. And he's in the, you know, he plays aggressive on defense. Like, he in garbage time, obviously it's hard to tell because one team's really trying and one team's really not sometimes. Mm-hmm. And those new, you know, young guys that are coming in are just trying to show off for themselves, not really try to make the right winning plays. You know, they're trying to just show, hey, I'm a really good player.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's hard to see. But, like, I do agree with you. I think Hampton should be getting more playing time. But it doesn't surprise me because Malone is just kind of that way. You know, I would also say I'd like to see maybe Zeke Nnaji get a few more minutes and maybe take those a little bit out of Hartenstein's. minutes, but you know, I like Hartenstein too. It's just, you know, it's hard to say. I want him to cultivate the young talent, but I get where he's coming from, where he wants the experienced guys. So
yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, that was kind of a long-winded answer, but so yeah, I trust that the Nuggets will make it farther up the standings, but yeah, I would like to see more of our young guys get some run. The Sixers are looking really good in that top three. And also, a thing that would make them look even better is, you know, acquiring a certain somebody who might be unhappy in Washington. And that is not, you know, any politician. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Bradley Beal. So, did you see Bradley, what he said the other day in an interview? The parked car comment.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
Okay. Recall. I think I'm going to probably play it. Future me, the person who is editing this right now. I'll probably play that audio really quick.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, we all know it's our defense. I don't know why it's our defense. We, at this point, now we can't guard a parked car.
So I thought that was really funny. And also just like me watching that was like, dude, he's going to get traded. Like, he's going to get out of there unless they, you know, Washington does something like pull something together. You know, Thomas Bryant went down towards Achilles, not his ACL. Yeah. ACL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hurt my fantasy team.
Yeah. Russ has been off to the worst start of his career.
And he's going to be out with injury, quadricep, I think.
Yeah, torn quad, I think. Yeah, or strained quad, something like that. So, yeah, it's been tough for the Wizards. Bertans hasn't been shooting fantastic. It's like 36%, which I don't think is a red flag at all. You know, that's like league average. He's probably going to go up. Back to his normal 40s percentages, but it's just, you know, it hasn't helped them win games so far.
I think it's a big portion is Brooks.
Sure.
I don't know why he's still coaching that team. Just whatever he's doing is obviously not working, and you know, it's just he's got to go. He's got to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Bradley Beal, he loves Washington. You could tell, just on social media, he hasn't said any, you know, wild comments. He wasn't mad when John Wall was traded. You'd never saw like real backlash from him, and he's you know, publicly stated that he loves playing in Washington and wants to stay there.
So, yeah. But there's just been a few moments where he's looked very distressed, either on the court or in post game interviews. Yeah. He like side eyes teammates in certain plays where it's like, where he's just, you know, shows his frustration, and stuff like that. So I'd be curious to see.
And he's 26. He's gonna get older, you know. Mm-hmm. He should play somewhere where he's gonna win. Yeah. So, the 76ers are here waiting for you, Bradley Beal. So. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of a Ben Simmons and Thibault, and then maybe a couple picks or something like that?
Yeah.
For Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
You think that could happen?
Yeah. Straight up, dude.
Yeah,
I just think it doesn't work, man. I would, you know, it's gonna be sad if Simmons leaves, but just, dude, Bradley Beal and Joel Embiid together, like, it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah,
you know,
Bradley Beal with basically anybody is a match made in heaven.
That's true. But, yeah. He's a perfect player to play alongside.
Yeah.
So. And he's only gotten better. This is the best he's playing in his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just taking the stress off his shoulders a little bit, playing alongside someone like Joel Embiid with some great players around you. You know, you got Tobias Harris, you got Seth Curry, Danny Green. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I think, you know, a trade, if it were to happen, that would be very interesting. And honestly, you know, like you said, Ben Simmons, it would be sad to see him go. You know, from my perspective, be kind of happy to see him go. Just in terms of basketball fit, I think he's going to have way better opportunities elsewhere on a team like Washington where they can actually build around him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, for his career, could turn out pretty good.
Yeah, that's fair. For sure.
Yeah, so other than that, though, do you want to dive into MVP talk?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so far throughout the season, who would you say are your main contenders for MVP?
For MVP? Well, I think you obviously know what I'm going to say in the top three.
Is that JoJo?
It is JoJo at the number one spot for me right now. This is the best he's been playing in his career.
Yeah, I would say so. Either this season, I think two seasons ago he was really good too.
Yeah.
And he averaged like 27 a game that season.
Mm-hmm. And but he's with shooters around him, you see how good he can be. So I think he's playing to the best of his abilities. He's trying really hard. So, I you know, he's been playing great. I think I gotta put Jokic in the top three as well, you know.
That's right.
You know, to make you happy.
That's right.
And then that third spot, man, it's kind of tough now that I'm thinking about it. But, I think you have to have LeBron in the top three.
That's fair. That's fair. That's very fair. Yeah, I like that assessment. You know, for me personally, I'm going to separate this kind of like my, what I think so far, who's the MVP based on, you know, where they are in the standings and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to say what I think might turn out to happen. And you know, so far I think Embiid is a pretty good pick for the number one spot. Not gonna lie. I think either him or LeBron would also be a good pick. at the number one spot, just because Lakers are obviously the best team right now. And LeBron is the main reason why. You know, AD's kind of been, you know, I was thinking LeBron was going to take it easy in the first part of this season, but it's really been the other way around. AD's been the one not really showing up, kind of coasting so far.
Yeah.
Which I think is just kind of his personality, and that's what drives me crazy so often about Anthony Davis is the amount of talent he has, and I'm like, dude, you could
be MVP. Yeah.
You could be so good, and he just does not, he hardly ever turns it on. Like, he's just like, and just flashes in certain, you know, playoff series or certain big games. He's like, you know, I'm just going to take over now. And it seems like it's not like what we were talking about Jamal Murray, where Jamal Murray will sometimes, his tough shots that he always takes will just sometimes go in and just keep going in. With Anthony Davis, he'll become like an entirely different player sometimes, like where he's just like, I'm just going to try now. Like, I'm going to dominate the game now. And it seems like something that he can just intentionally do, you know?
That's like the same thing with Embiid, you know?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
He's someone who kind of takes it, tries to take it easy, which, I mean, I don't blame him, you know, trying to kind of save himself for later in the game, which, you know, has been a theory of mine. I've been thinking, like, he kind of takes a little chill stroll, first half, get like 10 first half points, then second half, just score 30, you know? It's just like, you know, I understand it. If he's doing it on purpose, it kind of makes sense too. Because you obviously don't want him drained in the second half. So, but yeah, no, I got you with that.
Yeah, and then another guy. I'm not really listening in order. I guess I'm just brainstorming a little bit. Mm-hmm. But another guy is Giannis. You know, obviously it's going to be hard for him to win a third consecutive MVP award.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are going to vote for him just because of that reason, but I don't know if I necessarily like that reasoning. I think we should separate like who won it the last couple of years and just look at this body of work for this season.
Yeah.
And so far he's definitely been a candidate. You know, the Bucks are sitting 8-4. I think he's averaging like 26-10-7 or something like that. And he's playing really good defense. You know, he's just, you know, playing like the player he is. And that's an MVP caliber player. So I think he's worth mentioning. Honestly, Domantas Sabonis is kind of like a dark horse, little feisty little pick, you know? It's definitely a long shot, but he's been playing really well on a really good team. So,
oh, for sure.
CJ McCollum is just trying to win the MVP award now.
I forgot to mention CJ McCollum. He's been on a tear, dude.
It's been ridiculous. Yeah,
and he's a great player too. So,
yeah, I saw someone comparing his numbers this year to 2016 Steph, and they're like exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, no, dude, he's been going crazy.
Yeah, it'll be hard for him to keep it up, I think, but yeah, he's been going pretty crazy, and Trailblazers have really needed it. You know, with Covington not really playing super well for them so far. You know, basically just the new guys they got haven't been great for them. Other than Cantor. Cantor's just, he's just such a spark plug.
He fits on that team really well.
Yeah.
And you saw that when he was on the Trailblazers a few seasons ago. Mm-hmm. So
against the Nuggets, in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, the Blazers are, I don't know if they're going to be good enough to have an MVP candidate on them by the end of the season, but, you know, who knows? They could.
Definitely, yeah.
But the Mavericks is another team I was about to talk about. Luka, obviously, I think he was Vegas's, I think, number one pick for MVP at the beginning of the season. Like, he had the best odds. It'll be interesting to see. Like, so far, I wouldn't say he's one of the top three candidates, but I think he's
top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy. It'll be easy to, like, to flip players around in that top 10, and still early in the season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one thing I was just looking at, CJ McCollum hasn't scored under 20 points this season yet. So,
wow.
He's been insane. And, you know, I mean, if they keep winning, I mean, if they win, then So we'll see. We'll see. Because, you know, Damian Lillard is finding his step, his pace.
Yeah, so. He just had 40 last night and mm-hmm. with 13 assists.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see with that.
Mm-hmm. And then another guy I was going to mention was Kevin Durant, but I don't feel like that's going to happen anymore now that they have KD, Kyrie, and James Harden.
Uh-huh.
So probably not with that one. But, you know, main guys I think that should be at the top of everybody's list moving forward, I think, are definitely LeBron, Jokic, Embiid, probably Doncic as well.
Yeah, definitely Doncic. And Giannis.
And Giannis, I think, yeah, would should be the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. What about Jeremy Grant?
Dude, his offensive game, like the development, has been so good. And I love to see it because, you know, he was a 76ers player on that process team. And then yeah. he was, you know, with you on the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So his stats are great. And, yeah. like, imagine him with a better roster.
Yeah.
So it's just
for sure.
Like, I mean, yeah. he's been on a tear. 31 yeah. points, 28 points, 22 points in the last three games. So
yeah, it's been interesting to see. It kind of pains me to see also it's just how much Nuggets are struggling on the defensive end without him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm happy for him though. He's, yeah. you know, Orangeman for life. So
for sure.
And other than that, I guess, you know, Gordon Hayward.
yeah.
Just mentioning players that are popping off. He's been playing really well.
Yeah, I'm happy for him too. I mean, beginning of the season, I thought he was going to be really good on that team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm that just, Hornets team is not looking terrible. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm
no, they're not. They might. I think they're going to be a playoff team in the East. At least
their
in the top 10.
Fun to watch.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree. With those two, you know, backcourt scorers and Rozier and Graham, which Graham hasn't been playing super well, but it still looked nice. Especially, and Lonzo Ball, the way he just fits in with all those guys.
LaMelo, you mean?
Oh, yeah, LaMelo Ball. Sorry.
No.
My bad. That's
funny.
Yeah.
He's been better. He's better than I thought he would be in the NBA, actually. He's playing
yeah.
so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he
is playing really well.
He fits just, you know, just right in.
I think he's probably the best pick for Rookie of the Year so far in terms of who I think is going to win it.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton yeah. is another guy that I would put up
him
there.
Him and Halliburton are my main picks.
Mm-hmm. Wiseman's been pretty good too.
Yeah, and if Maxey gets a solid amount of minutes per game, I think you could look at him as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not bad, not bad at all. Was there anybody else we should mention in here? Or I think that's about it. I guess,
yeah.
you know, the Timberwolves have been, you know, we mentioned the Grizzlies playing really well lately without Morant and Jaren Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota got back. You know, they have Kat and they have D'Lo and they have Malik Beasley and the number one pick, Anthony Edwards. And they have not been playing well at all. So,
yeah.
Yeah. They might, you know, they're one of the teams that were like, oh, yeah, we're going to be in the play-in. You know, that's what they were saying at the beginning of the season before the season started.
Yeah.
But they look like they might be the worst team in the West, even behind.
Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even in the league. No, I say Pistons take that still.
Pistons
are bad. but. I think the Rockets and the Thunder are the two teams in the West now that are obviously not really trying to make the play-in. And it's going to be funny to see if Timberwolves end up even lower than them in the standings,
mm-hmm.
which they are right now. But, yeah, it's still early, though.
True.
But, yeah, all the new guys on their teams have been shooting so much. It's been pretty weird. You know, like Christian Wood, Jeremy Grant, Gordon Hayward. A lot of guys, you know, just that are brand new to the team, getting lots of shots. I saw this stat that was like there's 39 players in the NBA right now that are averaging over 20 points a game. 39.
That's insane.
10 years ago, there was only 19.
Jeez, what?
Yeah. So that's pretty wild.
But, you know, that also comes with the, you know, the three-pointer being used more in the NBA.
Yeah, the pace also picking up. Yeah, all that. But yeah. Also, have you heard anything about Bradley Beal trade with New Orleans?
I have not.
I've been hearing some rumors just about, you know, having Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. And New Orleans just trying to win now because of how good those guys are, instead of, you know, having all those picks that they do have for the future.
Yeah.
I kind of moving off of those and getting Bradley Beal.
That wouldn't be an awful idea.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Nikhil Alexander Walker looking really good right now.
Yeah, dude, he dropped 37, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I've
heard rumors of him going to the Thunder as well to pair, you know, be back with his cousin, right?
Yeah, Shea.
Mm-hmm. Shea. So
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
That'd be cool to see.
That would be cool. It would be interesting to see. But yeah, has Nikhil gotten much playing time other than just that one game, or was it just one game so far where he just popped off? Like, I'm sure that's going to earn him some more minutes, but I'm pretty sure he hadn't been playing much before that.
Let me make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I guess this might have been his only game that he really popped off in. Mm-hmm. The game before that, he scored only 5.
Oh, yeah.
Game before that, 13. Game before that, 6. Game before that, 3. So, I guess it's kind of just...
Yeah.
Maybe he does get more minutes and plays better, but...
Yeah, so. I think that's probably going to happen. You know, he was getting, like, DMPs at the beginning of the season, so I think he'll become more part of the rotation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it'll be interesting what the Pelicans do moving forward. You know, other teams to mention just really quick that are doing really well. Utah's up there in the West right now. The Suns look like they could be maybe a second-round team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Warriors, their record's not terrible, but I don't think they're – you know, what people were expecting them to be at the beginning of the year.
If people expected them to be a top team in the West, I don't know.
Yeah.
What kind of track they're on.
I think they'll probably make the play-in, but I see them somewhere in the 7-10 range, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hope they make the play-in because, you know, mm-hmm. seeing Steph Curry play is a pleasure, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. And the Clippers, 8-4, playoff P. Is playing really well in the regular season. Maybe he should just be called regular season P. but, yeah, so that's been interesting to see also. Kawhi doing Kawhi things. But, yeah, I think, obviously, my pick is still the Lakers coming out of the West and winning it all. But this Nets trade is very interesting now, them having a three-headed, like, isolation monster now. if Kyrie can... you know, continues to play for this team, which honestly is up in the air at this point. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, he hasn't been around the team. He said he was taking time off because of what happened at the Capitol. And that, you know, that was the reason he needed time off.
It's odd to me.
It's very, very odd. You just don't have to work anymore because you don't like what happened at the, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird reason. And then, like, yeah, you can be shook up about it, but you still need to play basketball. That's what you get paid to do, you know? And I get maybe taking one game off, but he took, like, 3 or 4. And then he, you know, the video came out of him at his sister's birthday party, which was, like, a really big event. Lots of people there in a packed room.
Really?
They weren't wearing masks, so obviously that's against the league's protocol. So they... you know, the league has to, you know, set him out for another 2 weeks because of quarantine. So it's kind of, yeah, I feel bad for Steve Nash. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
As the head coach, having to deal with that kind of sucks, I'm sure. It just doesn't seem like Kyrie really wants to, you know, lead. He doesn't seem like he really cares right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird to see because, you know, he left Cleveland because he wanted to be the leader of a team. And now he's not much of a leader at all. So
no, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with them.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that should be it for today's episode. We're going to wrap this up. Be sure to like and subscribe, do all that kind of stuff if you like or whatever, and follow the Spotify feed. You know, you have fingers, you know what to do. But yeah, Anthony, you want to just say farewell to the Next Man Up family?
Yeah, I mean, thanks everyone for listening. Obviously, like, subscribe, comment, you know the basis. But yeah, it's been a pleasure.